I want to give a big thank you to Mrs. Bloom and the concert band and all those who participated. Isn't that wonderful? And you know, we want to thank them for the music that they provided this morning. But our thanks needs to go way beyond that. And our thanks to God for them needs to go way beyond that. Because this is just the froth on the ocean of what they do week after week, day after day. They're at the elementary school, not just them, but the entire staff and the principal, all the leadership making Christian education happen so that these kids can be prepared to know God, to live for Him, to make beautiful music for Him, and for us to enjoy and worship with them together. So I'm so thankful for all that you do. I'd like to introduce you to the principal team for our elementary. You may know them. Would you please stand right here? Yes, they're a team. This is Woody and Annie Ross, in case you don't know. And we're so thankful for you. And I can testify, they are people who, like God has called all of us to be, but they exemplify being totally available for His service. And I'm so thankful for that. May we all follow the same example. Well, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the wonder of this time, when so many people, even people who don't necessarily believe, are thinking about the story of Jesus. Oh, Father, we pray that that story will not be something that we can just talk about and try and prove with our mouths and with our words, but we pray, Father, that our very lives will be the demonstrations of the truth of that story that touch others so that they too can come to know you. And Father, I pray, if there are any here who've come today without hope, that they will leave with joy and hope. Father, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right. I don't know if you know how astronomers find asteroids and supernovae, the plural of supernova. Do you know what a supernova is? A supernova is a phenomenon where, and there's actually records back into ancient times, where there was not a star or a planet supposed to be, the ancients noted that a new light appeared in the sky. And as we understand and believe, based on what scientists have explored, it looks like a supernova is a star that explodes. And there are some nebula in the sky that are believed to be the remnants of supernovae. For example, if you go and Google the Crab Nebula, I believe that nebula is supposed to be a supernova remnant. And then there are some nebula like the Ring Nebula in the constellation Lyra is what's called a planetary nebula, which would also be considered to be the result of a supernova. But anyway, so naturally, astronomers want to know when there's a new supernova. Now, you might think, with the sound of supernova, just the word, that if there was a supernova, you would not be able to hide it, okay? Like there would be a bright flash in the sky if that was happening. But the fact of the matter is, most supernova discoveries are so dim that you wouldn't even be able to see them if you went out. And how they're discovered is by astronomers comparing one picture of a region of the sky with another. Now, if you were an amateur astronomer exploring the night sky with your telescope, and this has happened, you might be looking at a certain patch of sky in a certain constellation. I hope I'm not boring you with this stuff. It's terribly exciting to me. But anyway, if you were exploring a certain patch of sky that you've explored many times before with your telescope, and you know where the different stars are in that view, one time, and the odds are very slim that this would happen to the most fastidious and knowledgeable amateur astronomer, and even professional one, but one time looking at that patch of sky, or maybe you took a picture of it, examining that picture of that patch of sky, you would say to yourself, wait a minute, does that particular star belong there? I don't think that's the star that we would expect to see in that picture. And so here's what you would do. You would get all excited. You'd phone your wife or your husband and say, I might be on to something. And they go, all right, thank you for calling. But anyway, so you would look for another picture of that patch of sky. Now, I will tell you that I know this particular star field that I have on the screen is one that's very familiar to almost everybody here, right? You all can probably name each of those stars, right? Am I overestimating your astronomical knowledge? Shame on me. Well, I will tell you, this is just a random star picture I found. So I don't know what the stars are in this picture. But I do know this, that I added one. I added one here. So there is actually a star in here that doesn't belong here. Now, how would you be able to tell within a certain star field if there was a star there that wasn't there before? Or if perhaps there was an asteroid there that maybe you are the discoverer of? Well, it's a real simple technique. It's called blinking. And so what you do is you take the picture of what you think includes the new supernova, or perhaps an asteroid that's been undiscovered, that doesn't belong there, no one thought or knew belonged there, and you take that and you take another picture. They used to do it with actually slide projectors, and they would have two slide projectors with the two pictures in them, aim them at a screen, and then blink back and forth between them. Guess what happens? Okay. Oh, turn this on. That would be good. All right. Now, do you know which one it is? Can you tell which one it is? Now, if you were the discoverer of an asteroid, it wouldn't blink on and off. Whoops. Whoops. Clicked one time too many. It wouldn't blink on and off. It would actually appear to move, because asteroids are in orbit around the sun, and so from night to night, if you thought you discovered an asteroid, the very next night, you would aim your telescope at the same place, take another picture, and as you blinked back and forth before that, I'm sorry, I didn't do the work to recreate an asteroid discovery for you, but as you blinked back and forth, you would see one of the stars move back and forth. It would be like a little movie, most exciting one you ever saw. And so anyway, you want to see that again? So that's how you discover a supernova. Isn't that cool? Simpler than you thought, right? Start looking for them tonight. And you could maybe even get one named after you. Well, you know what? We are going to talk briefly about the original Star Trek, because that is how it started. The wise men from the East went on the original Star Trek. Think about that. Does that make sense? I can't think of any other account in ancient history where people, earlier than this, where people went to follow a specific star. That's a Star Trek, isn't it? And that's exactly what they did. But now, after reading, I was reading in Desire of Ages, reading the biblical account, I got to thinking, wait a minute. All the pictures of the wise men following the star have this blazing star in the sky. what if it wasn't quite like that? And by the way, if you watch the Discovery Channel or other documentaries about what was this star that they saw, by the way, in the Desire of Ages, it says it actually was a group of angels. And so people theorize, actually, well, there was a comet around that time, or there was a conjunction of Jupiter and some of the other bright planets that would have made a brighter than average spectacle in the sky. I actually think that it was more like what we just did, only without telescopes. I have actually started to come to think that the star that the wise men followed probably wasn't that bright. But they were so acquainted with the night sky that they saw something that didn't belong there. Think about it. If it was that bright, tales of it would be all over ancient manuscripts, wouldn't there? Wouldn't they be? If it was that bright, do you think they would have been the only ones trying to follow it and figure it out? I don't think so. But I wouldn't go to the stake and offer up my life even to prison or minor inconvenience for that conclusion that I've reached. But I think that it probably was not this bright, bright thing. I think it was probably one night they were out and they knew the stars and they saw one that didn't belong. Maybe brighter than average, but not necessarily blazing. And they, being seekers after knowledge, wanting to know the truth about stuff that they saw in the skies and stuff that was happening in the world, wanted to know, what does this star mean? And they, though it's increasing, though it's fading in our culture, they had a very heightened awareness and belief in the supernatural. They believed that they could predict much by the stars. And though they were wrong about so many things, they did believe that this new star must mean something. So what do you think they did? Does anybody know what they did? Well, they started talking to people. Do you know anything? Some of their fellow wise men, some of their fellow astrologers, astronomers. Do you know anything about a star that's supposed to appear and what it might mean? And what else did they have available to them, since they probably served in royal palaces and royal courts where all the wealth and knowledge of a civilization might have been accumulated? What else do you think they had access to that they would consult? Scrolls. And so they went and they consulted the scrolls that were available to them. I'm sure they consulted many spurious things that had all kinds of astrological, occultic information in them. But as they were going through the scrolls, this was probably in Babylon, where Israelites probably still were, and certainly they had been before they came back from the exile to Jerusalem to rebuild it. And they left behind scrolls. And they found in the scroll from the book of the law, the Torah, the book of Numbers, chapter 24, an accounting of a prophet who was hired to prophesy against Israel. And looking in that prophecy, they found an accounting of a star that was going to arise from Jacob, from Israel, to signify the coming of a king. A king who would be a supernatural king. A king who would change everything. And these wise men from the east who saw this star determined that they wanted to follow that star and find that king, no matter what it would cost them. No matter what it would cost them financially, no matter what it would cost them in terms of their reputation, they were willing to be seen as insane and irresponsible if they could just find that king, if they could just follow that star and see if it would lead them to that king. Speaking of a king who would change everything, coming in Israel, already in their own lives, their knowledge of that king changed everything. Can you imagine the conversations in their families as each one talked to his wife or whatever their culture was, wives, children, associates, went to the royal palace to talk to the king, perhaps, that they worked for, or the royalty that they worked for, the government administrators that they worked for, and said, "We are going on a trip." They gathered together their supplies. They gathered together probably staff in order to organize this trip and go on it, because it was no small task. You know, you didn't just pack a suitcase to go from Babylon over to Israel. You had to have wagons. You had to have animals. Perhaps it was all camels. I don't know, like the pictures. But you had to have a whole infrastructure so that you could make that trip alive, crossing the desert, crossing all the places, having everything that you needed so that you'd have food, so that you'd have water, so that you'd have everything you needed for that trip. And so they set off across the desert, leaving everything behind, not knowing when or if they would ever be able to return, all for the one purpose of seeking that king, of finding him. They determined that it was worth it, whatever it cost them, to find that king. And you notice the one additional dimension that they determined to do when they found that king. Do you know what it was? Can anyone say? To worship that king. They were willing to put it all on the line, to give it all, so that they could worship that king, the real king, the true king, the King of Kings. I'm starting to learn things from them already. Are you? They found out how to find the king, and they gave everything in order to do it. They reorganized, they set up everything in their life for the one purpose of finding and worshiping that king. Because they believed that the key to everything in history that they knew was in this king. Well, how did it go? I can imagine them night after night as they're making progress on their trip, looking up and scanning that same part of the sky where they had seen in the west from there. You know, we think of the star in the east, but they were actually in the east and they were headed west. So the star would have been in the western sky from them. Yes, there it is. Yes, there it is. Based on what I said, I don't think they just got up from their sleeping mats and said, "There it is, yeah, still there." No, yes, there it is. They found the star, and they continued on their trip, until finally, where did they end up? They ended up in Jerusalem among the people who actually had the books that they had consulted in the book of Numbers and found where to go and what was happening with this star. They found the people that, you know, they had to hunt among all the ancient scrolls to find this particular scroll that had this particular piece of information about the king that they were going to go then and worship. These people had these books in their archives all around them. This was their main book. And they expected certainly these people in Israel, the land of Jacob, would know the meaning of this star and would know where they could go and about this coming of this king. They come parading through Jerusalem. I don't know how fine they looked as they went through Jerusalem. They had been on a long journey. I don't know if their robes had all their glitter on them or not, like we see in the pictures. But anyway, they go through Jerusalem. Word gets to King Herod, the servant of not so much the people as of Rome and of himself. And he sends for them, and they come, and they ask the question that's been on their mind ever since they read what they read in the Word of God after seeing that star. Where is the king? Surely you know, where is this king that has been born? For we have seen his star. It's right there in the scripture that you read in Matthew chapter 2. Verse 1 and 2. And so they came to Herod, and they asked him, where is the king? I don't know where the king is. But he was very interested now himself, right? And he sent for the religious authorities and asked them, where is the king supposed to be born? What do you know of the prophecies? And they researched and they found and they brought to the king the knowledge that he was to be born in Bethlehem. And then the wise men went on their way. But think about the irony of that situation. Here are these pagan astrologers in the courts of the leaders of the people of God. And the leaders of the people of God are just now gaining interest in what has consumed probably the last 2 years of these people's lives, of these wise men, of this magi, of their lives, the last 2 years of their lives. And these people are saying, oh, we've got to solve this problem. And they dust off their scrolls and they look through and they find and they say, yes, he's supposed to be born in Bethlehem. They find the prophecy in Micah. He's supposed to be born in Bethlehem, the least of these towns. And so the wise men, they look, they go out, and they say, oh, there is the star. And they follow, and they find Jesus, and they worship him. Doesn't it make sense that Jesus, talking to whether any of the same people or some of their associates or some of their disciples after them, these 30-some years afterwards, said to them, you search the scriptures thinking that you have eternal, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. These religious leaders, these religious people, it wasn't that they didn't study the Word of God. It's that they studied it and missed the point. And yet, these pagan astrologers, about whom we could find so much to criticize in their beliefs, in their paganism and all these things, went into the Word of God with true and open hearts, and who did they find? The Messiah. Does he have a name? They found Jesus. In the same scriptures that had bolstered the sense of correctness, the sense of being right, the sense of being about the only ones who are right, to these pagans, these same scriptures brought out Jesus in such a way that they determined, as far as they could tell, to spend the rest of their lives finding Jesus. And that's the call that I have for you and for myself today. Can we make that turn in our lives right now if we haven't already? To make the purpose and the point of the rest of our lives to find and worship Jesus. To dive into our scriptures like never before and to make the whole point of it to know him, to serve him, to worship him, and to share him. Can we do that? It is our purpose. This is why you are alive in the world. This is eternal life, Jesus said in his prayer in John 17, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. This is the purpose. This is the point. This is why you are here, that you can know him. And so I just make the call today. Will you make it the point of your life to seek him now and always? Will you? It comes down to actually concrete decisions. You know, the wise men there in the east, they opened the scroll, I don't even know, maybe they had to have a Hebrew interpreter, or maybe they found a version that was translated into their own language. But they opened that scroll after searching and searching to find anything pertinent and relevant to the star that they had seen, and they read it. And they didn't say, well, ain't that something? We solved that mystery. I am so happy to know that. Hey, Ahiu, do you know, did you hear about this? Did you ever hear about this? Oh man, you don't get around much, do you? You don't know the things I know. I know the meaning of that star. Come here, come outside tonight. I'll show you. Okay, now look, okay, now here you see Arcturus over here, and you see Capella over here, and Aldebaran, okay, all right, see that? Now see right there? That one's not supposed to be there, right? Oh, really? Man, you notice that. You're good. Yeah, but not only that, I know what it means. Here, let me show you. Pulls out the Hebrew scroll. Brett, you haven't looked at the Hebrew scrolls before, right? Here, I have one. This is an original copy. Look at this. Oh, man, you are amazing. How did you find that? And how did you figure out that that's what it was talking about? You are good. That's not how it went. They did not absorb it as so much information. When they discovered this truth, they actually demonstrated that they understood it by selling what they had to sell, buying what they had to buy, gathering together, hiring who they had to hire, all of these big life decisions that they made because this truth was a truth that was sharper than any two-edged sword. This was the Word of God, and they let its power loose in their lives such that it changed the whole direction. And they studied, and then they chose to follow the truth and all of its implications of what they learned when they studied. You and I need to take this book that is the Word of God, and we need to daily come to it and find out what God says to you, what God says to me, and not take it in as so much information, but to come to it hungry, saying, I remember there was a series of movie lectures from years ago that were titled with that wonderful question, how should we then live? You ever heard of that? Whether you have or not, does that make sense? Come to the Word of God. How often do you think you need to be filled with direction from the Word of God in order to live the life that God has called you to? How often do you think you need to do that? At least daily. Do you know that when we wake up in the morning, do we have only sweet voices whispering in our ear telling us what kind of day to live and how to live it? No, we wake up in this world that's full of temptations, that's full of all kinds of ideas about the purpose of our lives and how to live them. We need waking up to connect our hearts with God. We need to reach out to Him in prayer, already making that commitment. Today, Lord, I am yours. We need waking up and getting up. You know, you need the best time of your day to do your greatest and deepest study, but you need the first time of your day to wake up taking the Word of God into your heart. Opening it up. If your mind is so groggy that all you can handle is some light reading in the Bible, you need to do the light reading in the Bible. But you need to get in sync with the Word of God, because in it, you will find, if your heart is open like those pagan wise men, you will find Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as He really is. And you will find His plan and His direction for your life. And because, as it says in Hebrews chapter 4, that this Word is living and active, you will find that sometimes even in the same passages, you will see different things that will speak to your life situation that day, the decisions that you need to make that day, things that will come up that you didn't even know were going to come up, that later in the day, having been in His Word, you will realize God gave me just what I needed for this situation that just happened. God gave me just what I needed for this question that someone just asked me about Him. But it won't happen unless you do like those wise men, having the questions of your life begin the day coming to the Word of God, prayerfully asking God for the direction that you need, with a heart committed that whatever He shows you, that's how your life goes today. And so, they didn't have GPS. They had the star that showed them direction every day. And so as they continued on that journey throughout those probably 2 years, every day, they checked, probably got up before dawn to make sure of that star. There's the star. Maybe sometimes they refreshed themselves on those fragments or scrolls of scripture that they probably carried with them. And here's what we're after, to go worship that king. And day after day, they had their direction. They had their plan. They had their destination all set with confidence and joy. And one day, there they were, face to face with that by now probably 2-year-old child. And they were able to present their gifts. And they were able to worship Him. And they were able to see the providence of God as he maneuvered them through the trickery of Herod and all those things. And they were able to go home to their families and tell them, just like that man that Jesus delivered, to tell them what great things the Lord had done for them. And I have a suspicion that people back home came to believe in the same King that they had seen and witnessed and worshiped, all because they saw Him in His Word and went after Him with everything they had. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You so much for sending Jesus for us. Father, we honestly ask forgiveness for so often being like those priests and others who took Your Word for granted and hurriedly looked up answers to give to people who had questions and those sorts of things, but totally missed You. Father, I pray that right now, that in every heart here, that a hunger for You will be planted right now. And that right now, that our hearts will be moved to seek after You with all of our hearts. Above everything else, Father, there's so many things competing for our attention, our entertainments, our business, our worries, the pursuit of money, the pursuit of pleasure, the pursuit of approval of other people, all these things, Father. Please, like the song says, Father, let them grow strangely dim in the light of the glory of Jesus, and let Him be all in all to us, that everything in our lives is about seeking Him, knowing Him, and worshiping Him, and sharing Him. Thank You so much that for everyone who seeks You, You have promised, we will find You. And all that You do, forgiving our sins, cleansing us, making us new people with purpose who bring joy and happiness and light to the people around us, will take place by the miracle of Your transforming power as Savior and Lord of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.